Spotlights burst upward as the sun sets over Hollywood. Lights cross over the gold block logo for Searchlight Pictures. The doors to Gulfside Pharmacy open. A girl steps outside while pushing a boy in a wheelchair. She carries a plastic bag of pharmacy items on her arm. Wearing a peach hoodie and shorts, the girl pushes the boy in the wheelchair past a beachside park. She pushes him past an abandoned building and a shopping plaza. Dressed in blue flannel pants and a hoodie, the boy stares ahead. The sun shines as they move past houses. Both teens have curly, reddish-brown hair. They arrive at a pink house with white awning trim. The girl outstretches her arms and with great effort pushes the wheelchair up a ramp. Inside, a Casper poster hangs on a bedroom wall. Another bedroom with blue decor contains an IV drip.
It's really hot out.
It is hot out, but it's nice. I'm so excited to go to school.
I'm sad to leave this, though.
Boys. Boys. Boys.
Boys. Oh, yeah.
So many new boys.
Well, you'll probably find some pretty boys in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be on the lookout for hot water polo players.
The girl hydrates the boy with a straw and sits in front of the TV.
Yeah, I'll go with you. I'm really hot. Yeah.
She flips channels.
And the debate continues over the life of Terry Schiavo, who is right here in Tampa Bay.
41-year-old Schiavo has had her feeding tube.
Jimmy, Howard, Angie, my makeup artist, Lisa, my trainer, even Sugar Pie was driving me crazy.
Sugar Pie! Sugar Pie! Sugar Pie! Sugar Pie!
A woman with blonde hair enters.
God, I can't stand looking at that poor woman.
She moves toward the boy.
Hey. Hi.
She cradles his forehead. The girl glances at them from the couch.
Ugh, my head is killing me. And this isn't helping.
I was so embarrassed.
The woman clicks off the TV.
I got you nachos.
The girl lights up. She scooches forward and clicks the TV back on.
Sugar Pie! Shut up!
The woman immediately shuts it off.
What, did you give him a shot?
Yes, I did.
Did you vacuum?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it.
Because the carpet's 1,000 years old.
The woman turns to look at the floor.
God, this place really has turned into a shithole.
The woman tosses her wrist guard on the coffee table.
I'm going to need your help with him in the morning.
I can't. I'll miss the van.
Oh, Doris, it's a big day. You don't have to go to school.
But I want to go.
You'll be late, and I'll write you a note.
No, please, Mom. I'll have to interrupt class, and everyone looks at me. It's really embarrassing.
Oh, it's really embarrassing. Oh, well. Oh, well, then I guess I'll just have to drop your brother off by myself, because God forbid you should be embarrassed.
Okay, fine. I'll come. Forget it.
No, are you sure? You sure? Because I wouldn't want you to blush in front of your friends.
I don't have any friends. And fine, I said forget it.
Doris's mom frowns with concern. They both reach for the remote.
Shut the f*** up.
The next morning, they struggle to lift the boy.
Oh. Okay. One, two, three, go! Oh my God. Okay, lift him up.
I'm trying.
Come on.
A bus slows down in front of their house.
Taking her today! You can go!
Inside the bus, high school students stare at them.
What, is he deaf?
Mom, stop yelling. He obviously can't hear you.
Okay. What?
Hello! I'm taking her! You can go! Drive away!
Mom, stop yelling. Everyone is staring at us.
Okay, lift his upper body. Up, here we go. There we go. That's good. All right, sweetheart. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Can I drive?
What? No. We don't have time.
Come on, you never let me...
Doris! Please. Not today. Okay.
Doris buckles in her brother and scoots over to the middle seat.
Get in the back.
What?
With the latch, has been screwy. You got to make sure his chair doesn't fall out.
My hair is going to go nuts.
Your hair?
With Doris in the truck bed, her mom shuts the tailgate. The tailgate falls open. Doris pulls the folded wheelchair closer. Mom tries again. She slowly walks away and ambles toward the driver's side. Mom storms back.
Goddamn piece of crap.
She closes it and stays put, watching. It stays shut. Satisfied, she walks to the front. It falls open. Mom hangs her head. Doris begins patting down her hair. The humble yellow truck pulls onto the road. Title: Suncoast. As the truck drives through the small town, Doris secures her hair with her entire arm. The wheelchair nearly slides away. She quickly grabs it with both hands, causing her hair to fly in her face. A protest is underway. Her mom tries to drive past the crowd, but news vans and police cars block traffic. Protesters wear tape over their mouths. A sign reads, "Terry is not a vegetable." Doris makes eye contact with a bearded man in the crowd. As the family enters the medical facility, a woman addresses them.
Excuse me, if you don't mind, I just need to check your bags.
Why?
Unfortunately, the staff gets a lot of threats since Mrs. Shibo got here.
So you think while I'm dropping my son off, I'm going to kill someone?
Just let her check your bags.
Hi there. Is everything okay? I'm Mia, the director of nursing.
You're the director? How old are you?
Mom.
It's okay.
What? It's just a question. How old are you? Because you do. You look young.
I actually get that a lot.
Two men roll out a body covered with a white sheet.
Don't worry about your bags. If you both want to follow me, I can check you in. This way.
Clutching a suitcase handle, Doris stares, frozen. Inside a peach-colored room, Doris reads a magazine. Her brother lies in the hospital bed while her mother wipes down a table.
I can't believe that teenager just shoved us in here. Look at this. Look. Look at this. I'm so sorry, honey. I'm going to clean this place up.
This room is way cleaner than our house.
I don't know if this... Do you think this is the right place for him? I'm not so sure.
You'd say that about any place.
Are you not at all upset about this?
Of course I'm upset. Can we go soon? I'm already really late.
You know, you could just try and think about someone other than yourself. You might like it.
Brad and Jen just broke up. Right now I'm thinking about them.
Oh, they did?
Her mom plops down next to her.
I knew they would. The second they got married. What did I say? He's too handsome. The handsome ones never stay.
Her mom looks up.
Like your brother. Too handsome for this world.
Can we go now, please?
Doris climbs the steps up to the Clearwater Christian High School. She timidly enters a classroom and hands her teacher a note.
Welcome back, Doris. Thank you.
Doris walks to her desk at the back among chatting classmates. Most students wear yellow, while a handful wear blue sweaters.
You seriously think Cody's going to tip me?
I know for a fact he did, and good riddance. Let her keep his dirty thing.
Okay, he is not picking up a tip.
Bullshit. Tiffany told me herself. She showed me a hickey. It was shaped like Cody's dirty mouth.
Okay, well, that should come over later. Okay, we're going to grow by the pool, and Cody will be there, so you can just ask him yourself.
Okay, Cody's going to be there? Yes, you best believe my ass will be there, because I'm done with swimmers.
Okay, sounds like most of us are done with the assignment. So, let's talk about being naked in public. Is that an ethics question? Yes, Adam.
Well, that depends on the laws of the land.
Exactly. Banning public nudity is a rule of a particular society, our society.
especially this classroom. But what about Christian ethics? How do they differ from the law of the land? Whoa, what's your hurry? Am I that boring?
Doris bumps into her classmate.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Their eyes linger. A new day back at the hospice.
Do you hear it? It's like... It's got to be driving him insane. Do not worry, honey. I'm going to fix this.
Well, Dowdy hears it.
Here, get up. I need your chair.
Doris's mom drags the chair under a vent.
Of course. I told that robot at the front desk, but of course she didn't do anything.
Mia?
She stands on it.
You seriously don't like her? She's like the nicest person I've ever met.
Yeah. Well, she's a toddler. But she just goes around smiling. You shouldn't walk around grinning if your job is watching people die. And your brother is stuck here with this horrible noise. Here.
She opens the vent.
Help me up. I'm going to stick my head up here. See what the fuck is going on.
Mom.
For the love of God, Doris. Come over here.
You're going to fall.
Well, then you make sure I don't.
Doris's mom pokes around in the ceiling.
Quiet, I can't hear it when you're talking.
Everything okay in here?
No. No, it is not okay in here. My son is a prisoner here, and he's being tortured by that noise.
There's barely a noise.
You don't hear that?
The nurse smiles politely.
Whatever. Sorry about her. She's a lunatic.
Doris grabs her backpack and shuffles out. Enraged, her mom holds up two middle fingers, and the nurse smiles again.
Thank you.
Doris's mom takes the room service tray. Doris walks outside where protesters are gathered and pops her earphones in. She walks through a line of people holding up signs. Please feed Terry. Jeb, save Terry, please. Terry's life is precious to thousands of people. Women and teenage boys sit wearing red duct tape over their mouths, with the word life written across it. Doris walks past a priest genuflecting while a group kneels and prays. Police patrol. Doris takes it all in. She wanders over to a chili dog shack.
Cheeseburger, fries, and a chocolate shake. That's $9.68.
The bearded man from the crowd stands behind her in line.
Oh, forget the shake.
Keep the shake. I got it. Add fish and chips for me.
Thank you. That's so nice of you. Mm-hmm. But you really don't.
No buts. You take the food. You're skinny as a rail. But you can't even see your shadow.
Okay. Well, thank you again.
Yep.
Doris sits at the last available table. The man looks around, then saunters over to her.
Well, mind if I join?
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't mind if I'm... Yeah, you can sit here, if you want.
The man plops his order number down next to hers. Mm. A toothpick dangles from his mouth.
I think I saw you over at that execution chamber.
Suncoast?
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother's living there. Or dying there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, I'll pray for his recovery.
Oh, please don't. I just mean, he has brain cancer, and he's blind, and he can't walk, and he hasn't talked in years. Like, his brain just doesn't really function anymore. He still eats on his own, but not for long. So if he survived, I just don't think he'd be happy.
The man nods.
Still, every life is precious.
I do not know why I just laughed. It's obviously not funny. Sorry. I haven't, talked to another person in a long time. I've just been taking care of my brother and haven't had time to really, talk to anyone.
Well, maybe you shouldn't start now because you're pretty bad at it.
They share a laugh.
Oh, yay.
Thank you.
A waiter brings their food. Doris glances at the man's fish and chips.
Not a fan?
Oh, sorry. Just the smell of seafood kind of grosses me out.
Oh, well, maybe you haven't smelled the right seafood.
Maybe not.
No, definitely not. Have you, been to West Palm Beach?
No.
Ooh-wee! Love West Palm Beach. Go to Captain Joe's. Best fish tacos in the world. Grouper, you'll love it.
I doubt it.
The man smiles, then drops his gaze.
My wife was obsessed with them. She passed away.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
My dad died. He had a heart attack when I was 3.
Christ, it ain't a competition. But if it was, you'd be winning. Hey, yeah.
They shake hands.
Paul.
Doris.
Doris? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Old lady's name.
It was my grandma's name.
Oh.
She died the day I was born.
My God, is there any conversation with you that is not, like, thoroughly depressing?
Basically, everyone in my family is dead, except my mom, but I sometimes kind of wish she was.
Don't say that.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, that's not funny. Every life is precious, including your mother's.
No one has ever called my mom precious.
Doris's smile disappears.
Oh, God.
Her mother marches in and looks around.
Jesus! Doris! I've been looking everywhere for you. What, you just walk off?
Paul turns.
You don't answer your phone?
Hello.
Mom, this is Paul.
Paul smiles at her.
Nice to meet you.
He casually holds out his hand.
Hi.
Hi.
Let's go. I'm gonna be late for work.
Doris gathers up her food.
See? Isn't she precious? It was nice meeting you.
Let's go.
Can I drive?
No! I just said I'm late.
Back at her house, Doris reclines on the couch, watching the weather report.
Hurricane Beto ripped through the Keys and up the Gulf of Mexico.
Her mom returns.
Fill up those gas tanks and generators. This could be a long weekend.
The storm could be a real bitch.
Palm trees brace against gusty wind.
You should board up the windows.
Doris sits up. Holding a shopping bag, Doris's mom sits down next to her.
I think I should start sleeping at Suncoast so your brother doesn't get too lonely.
But...
Sitting up, she turns off the TV.
Then I'll be alone.
You'll be in your own home. He's in a new place, surrounded by strangers.
But I don't...
You know, Doris...
Her mom holds up her hands.
When you have your own kids, you'll understand. I just can't stand the idea of him in that place by himself. He's my child. When he's in pain, I'm in pain.
I'm your child, too. What about
God's
my pain?
God's sake, give me a break.
What if the storm gets really bad? And what if there's a blackout? We don't have a generator.
Just will you think about your brother? He's trapped in his own body. He can't move. He can't see. You're worried about using a flashlight for one night? I'm going to be sleeping on a cot for weeks.
Is that fine?
Back at Doris's high school.
And because it is legal in all 50 states, is it ethical? Do we blindly accept the ethics of our government as our own?
No. And we know abortion is wrong because the Bible says it is.
That's actually not true, Adam. There is no explicit prohibition of abortion in either the Old or the New Testament.
Okay, well, I still think it's wrong.
Well, I think you're an idiot.
Ah, good. A debate. Why don't both of you come in on Monday with your prepared arguments? Love it.
You should have kept your mouth shut.
I'm a feminist and I want this silenced.
A student checks his phone.
Well... Kyle's dad found out he was going to throw a hurricane party. Now his parents aren't going to evacuate.
What? That friggin' sucks balls.
Well, we have to go somewhere because I already told my parents I'm going on an overnight field trip. Seriously, though. I really want to go out, please.
Can we go to Tara's? Didn't she get her own place?
She got evicted.
Of course she did.
Yeah. Marcus said he might get a keg and go into the causeway.
Waves are going to be so big, he's going to bail.
We can go to the movies.
Yeah, right after I kill myself.
Doris works up her courage.
You can come to my house.
The three popular students look back at her.
My mom won't be there, and you can do whatever you want. But if not, it's cool. I just thought if you needed a place to party, you could totally come over. Or whatever you want. It's chill.
Yeah. Super chill.
So there's, like, no adults?
Can we roll?
Sure. Whatever you want.
Wait, guys.
This is, like, so dope. Oh, my God, I have to tell everybody. But who are you?
Yeah, yeah. What's your name?
Doris.
Cool. Nate.
Yeah. Cool.
Lacey.
Brittany.
Cool. Doris. Cool.
Awestruck, Doris keeps nodding. Back at her house, Doris boards up windows all by herself. She lifts up the heavy wheelchair ramp to remove it. She struggles to push her brother's hospital bed out of the living room. She dusts off couch pillows. She returns a pile of prescription pill bottles to her brother's room. She vacuums. She sprays air freshener all around. At her front door, Brittany, Lacey, Nate, and another student arrive early. They enter and look around with a critical eye.
Hi!
Hey.
Oh.
Aw, your house is so cute.
It's super homey and, like, very unique.
Yeah. I mean, everyone says this neighborhood is scary, but, like, when you're in it, it's, like, not that scary.
Thank you.
Sort of smells like piss in here.
Oh. That's, probably from my cat. Who's just running around her somewhere.
Doris's classmates nod slowly.
I have a cat.
They smile and relax. Rain batters the packed house as another group of high schoolers enters carrying cases of beer. Yes. The girls pop ecstasy, then drink simultaneously. A DJ turns on a black light and dancers erupt with their neon glow sticks. Looking out of place, Dora stands by the windows watching the action. Doris steps outside, where another group is dancing fully clothed in the rain. As Doris squats to wipe her floor, more soaked pairs of shoes walk past. Nate spots her and leans in the doorway. He holds up a pill of ecstasy.
Want one?
Doris rises.
Oh, no, thank you.
She tosses a dirty rag aside. Nate sips his drink.
So, you have a pool?
Huh?
In class. I heard you say you have a pool.
Oh, yeah, I do.
They both look away, a little shy and awkward.
So, what do your parents do?
What do you mean, like their jobs?
Never mind.
My mom has a parrot.
Really?
Yeah, she got it to talk. She got it to say,
I love you, Nate.
Yeah, it was kind of weird at first, but now I sort of, like, look forward to it.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Back in the living room, Doris watches the party. Brittany and Lacey are sprawled on the floor.
Doris, come sit. Come sit. Come here. Come on. This house is amazing. It's so small. It's like a dollhouse. It's incredible.
You're so beautiful.
No.
No, you are. And you're just like so natural, and your nose is just like so real.
Beyond real. Mm-hmm. You're like this lion with your wild hair.
Oh my god.
She's a lion.
She's a lion.
Roar!
Roar!
Roar with us!
Roar!
Yes!
Back at Suncoast Hospice, Doris's brother sleeps. Tubes are connected to his nose and throat. In a nearby bed, their mother also sleeps, curled in a fetal position under white sheets. Their mother suddenly wakes. She sits up and looks at her son, resting a hand on his chest, feeling for his heartbeat. In the dining area, a man moves slowly with his walking cane. Doris's mother walks over to a vending machine and inserts change. Holding a coffee, she meanders down hallways. She stumbles upon the in-hospice chapel, where empty chairs sit in neat rows. Leaning against the doorframe, she takes it in. Very suddenly, she quickly turns around and walks away. At the end of another blue hallway, she comes to a beige door leading outside. She pushes the door open to find a patio and railing bordered by a grove of trees and a view overlooking the sea. Finally feeling some relief, she inhales and closes her eyes. Behind her, a woman holding a cane hobbles out.
Good morning.
Doris's mother turns around.
Morning.
She turns back to keep to herself.
You're here early. We don't usually get visitors this early.
The woman comes near and sits.
Well, I slept here last night. Oh, my son is here.
Oh. Well, he's lucky to have you.
Doris's mother smiles warmly.
Well, what about you?
She also sits.
Does your family visit? I mean, I hope so. I can't imagine only having these fake nurses to talk to.
No, I'm not. I'm not a patient. I work here.
Doris's mother looks at the woman's cane.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, I thought because... Oh, look, that is...
No, I'm not dying.
That's my mistake.
I guess I should have put on lipstick this morning.
No, I am so sorry. That was a dumbass thing to say.
It's okay. I'm Sue. I'm the grief counselor here. And I'm available to talk if you ever want to.
Oh.
Immediately uncomfortable, Doris's mother stands.
Well, my son isn't dead, so I'm not really grieving yet.
Okay. Well, I'm here if you change your mind.
Okay.
The woman gently studies her face.
Well, I should get back.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doris's mom walks off, her face crumpling. Back at the house, Doris lifts the heavy wheelchair ramp to replace it when her mom pulls up in the truck.
What are you doing with that?
I was just, moving it out of the way. Because we don't need it anymore, right?
Her mother is struck by the thought.
No, I guess not.
Doris puts the ramp back to the side of the house.
How was the storm?
Not bad. Sort of fun, actually.
Fun?
No, I didn't mean fun. I didn't have fun, because I was alone, so... there was a blackout, and I lit some candles, and candles are fun.
Her mom looks her up and down.
You're being weird.
What? No, I'm not.
Her mother gives her a long, tight-lipped, knowing stare. Later, they take the truck back to the hospice, passing the protesters.
It won't kill you to spend a few hours with your brother.
But I spent 6 years with him. He has nurses taking care of him now.
Get out of the truck.
A cop appears.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Sorry, but we need to check the back of your vehicle.
For what?
Frankly, we received a bomb threat yesterday, and we're taking it pretty seriously.
Everyone in there is about to die anyway. Who would waste a bomb on that place?
Ignore her. Please, just do whatever you need to do.
The cop walks to the truck bed.
It's unbelievable.
Doris's mother sighs in defeat.
What's in the back there, ma'am?
Both Doris and her mother turn to check the back.
Well, officer, that is an oxygen tank. Because my son's cancer spread to his lungs. Is that illegal? Get out. I'm not staying anyway. I've got to get to work. At the bomb factory, where I make hospice bombs.
She glowers with sarcasm as she backs the truck away. An embarrassed Doris and the cop share a look. A nurse wipes her brother down in the bed at bath time. The smiling receptionist looks on. Doris averts her eyes, keeping to herself on the couch. Outside, news crews set up cameras. In the shade of a nearby tree, Paul sits, having a cigarette. Doris spots him and approaches.
Can I have one?
How old are you?
Fine. I'll just go buy some.
You're so full of shit, your eyes are turning brown.
My eyes are brown.
Exactly. You go to Clearwater Christian?
Doris frowns.
How do you know that?
I know everything about you, Doris.
Paul stares at her.
Kidding, it's on your shirt.
She looks down.
Oh.
Are you Christian?
She joins him on the grass.
No, not exactly. My mom actually thinks religion is bullshit. No offense. She just didn't want me going to the public school after some kid shot a math teacher. So she has to work all the time to pay my tuition. She always shuts up about it.
Doris fidgets.
She's a good mom.
No. To my brother, maybe, but not to me.
You know, Carrie went to Catholic school.
How do you know?
Just do.
Do you know her?
Well, no, I don't know her personally.
What do you mean?
I don't know her, but when I found out that her psychotic husband was trying to murder her, I had to come here and do something.
Murder her? You know, she's basically already dead.
Paul cocks his head.
She's as alive as you are. And what if it was you in there instead of her?
Doris considers this.
Bottom line is, her husband didn't want to take care of her anymore.
Honestly, I get that. It's really hard taking care of sick people. Sometimes you need a break.
Are you enjoying your break?
I mean, this is going to sound horrible, but yeah.
Paul purses his lips to hide disappointment.
Once your brother's gone, he's gone. And he is never coming back, and you will miss taking care of him.
No, I won't.
You will. You'll miss everything. All the good, all the bad. Hell, especially the bad. What? I'd give anything to hear my wife yell at me for letting the mosquitoes inside.
Misty-eyed, he smiles at the memory.
Just talk to her, you know?
Well, I haven't talked to my brother in years. He's not really aware.
Well, you should talk to him. When they go, you know, suddenly you got all this important shit to say to him. Or not important shit. You just wanna tell him stuff.
He fights back tears. Doris lays on the couch, facing her brother's hospital bed. She plays with her thumbs. Her brother lies facing away from her and blinks. Doris takes him in. Then she sits up. Looking small and shy, Doris slowly brings herself to look directly at her brother.
she sits up a little taller.
Hi.
She stands. Her brother lies peacefully awake, but cannot regard her. Doris begins to speak, but hesitates and sits back down. Back at the high school the next day.
Oh, no. Look at me. That's adorable. Oh, my God. What is that? Are you dancing?
Don't hate on my moves, okay?
No, you look cute.
Oh, Doris. Come here.
Doris hurries down the steps to the group.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
These are from your party.
That shit was off the chain. Mm. Oh, really? Thanks. I had fun, too. Hey, so my birthday is this weekend. Could we maybe have another party at your house? Well, my mom won't be home, so yeah, definitely. Amazing. Wait, do you smoke weed? Oh, not right now, but I'm thinking about starting soon. Yeah, I do. Cool. Oh, my God.
At the party, the four girls sit on the curb and smoke a joint.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Do we need to, like, take you to the hospital?
Oh, guess who texted me last night?
Oh, my God, Aaron Miller.
Correct.
Who? You don't know Aaron Miller?
No.
Do you not, like, live in this town?
He's a few years older than us. He's so hot.
He is.
We dated for almost a year, but he broke it off last month because he said I'm like immature.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like only a really immature person would be callous enough to call someone else immature.
Brittany is taken aback.
Holy shit. You're so right. Wow, I've, like, never thought about it like that.
Yeah, that was, like, some deep shit, Doris.
Ooh, deep Doris.
Okay, well, deep Doris, you just earned yourself a keg stand.
What?
You don't know what a keg stand is?
No.
Oh, my God, you're like an alien.
Dude, you asked me if cheese was a vegetable, and you're called...
No!
No! No!
Was like 5 years ago.
That was not 5 years ago.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not. More like months.
It was 5 years.
A squealing Lacey drags Doris back into the house where two boys are pumping a giant keg.
Just put your hands right here and trust them. It'll be fun.
Oh my God.
The boys lift her upside down. Doris chugs and spits. The next morning, Doris vigorously blow dries the arm of the couch. Her mom enters. Without missing a beat, she swishes the blow dryer around her hair. She smiles innocently. Her mother walks into the kitchen without a word. Doris quickly finishes picking up dirty towels. At night, Doris and her friends watch a scary movie.
What?
The four girls are having a slumber party in Doris's living room.
What? What the fuck is he doing? Run, you dumbass!
Oh, my God. Guess what I heard?
What?
Nate has a crush on Doris.
What?
Yeah, right.
No way.
Wait, where'd you hear that?
Aw, that's so hot. The two of you together, I would die of horniness.
But who told you that? Do you like him?
Doris blushes.
I don't know.
No, oh, if you do, I can, like, totally make it happen. Yeah, I mean... He's not all, like, deep and quiet or whatever like you are, but he's a little panty mouser, right?
I mean, he's sort of cute.
Oh, my God. She loves
him. She loves him.
You love him.
You should go to prom with him.
What? Okay. Yeah. Now that that's out there, you're going with him. I'm sorry. You're going. You have to.
Hey, but don't get her hopes up because he might not, like, actually be into her.
Ew. You sound really jealous, and it's boring.
So boring.
Doris notices the girl's feelings are hurt.
Can I put some gel in your hair? Oh, I hate my hair. I don't know what to do with it.
It's just straight in that shit. I would, like, kill myself if I had curly hair.
Well, I wish you had curly hair. Where's your gel? I want to mess with it.
My mom might have some in the bathroom closet.
Doris points. Lacey opens a door and Doris pauses.
Oh, no, not in there.
Whoa.
Doris rushes over.
Why do you have, like, a hospital in here?
It's for my brother. He was sick for a long time.
Brittany joins them.
That's, like, heavy shit.
Brittany wanders in.
Did he, like, die?
No, but he is at Suncoast Hospice.
Shut up. With Terry Schiavo?
That is so cool. Wait, like, do you, like, know her? Wait, can you get us on the news?
Can I have one of these?
Sure.
Brittany holds a pill bottle.
Tight.
She eagerly shakes a few pills into her hand as the others explore the room.
Guys, this is so sad.
I know.
Tragic. You want one?
Yeah.
All right.
At Suncoast.
We will see you later.
Wait, can you take me home?
Doris looks up from a desk while doing homework.
Why?
Because I want to go home.
She eyes her mother, who shakes her head.
You're home alone too much. He needs visitors. He needs family.
Her mother comes close.
And he shouldn't be alone with Mia. I honestly think she's a sociopath. No, I saw her pushing a dead body down the hallway whistling show tunes.
Doris turns away.
Oh, God, don't pout. Look, I'll take you home after my shift. You really should spend some time with him while you can.
Her mother cradles her brother.
All right, sweetheart. I'm going to work, and I'll be back here as soon as I can. Okay? All right.
Doris watches her mother leave without a word to her. At the next house party.
I didn't say that!
Doris's new friends play Truth or Dare mixed with Jenga. She throws her head back with a carefree laugh.
Okay. All right, never have I ever...
The group looks eagerly at Nate.
Waxed my pubes.
Oh, you're such a freaking dick.
Oh, it's wow.
I hate you.
The game.
Doris watches the other girls drink and quickly takes a sip.
Hey, you were in.
Dare. I dare all the boys to...
No, you can't do that. It's got to be one person.
Kyle, shut up. Okay, it's fine.
Oh, no.
Thank you. I dare all the boys to take off their clothes.
Yeah. I just stood up for it, too. That's great.
Meanwhile, Doris's mom arrives at hospice where the same cop stands by.
Ah.
Evening, ma'am.
Look who it is. My hero.
Listen, I'm sorry, ma'am, but no visitors are allowed tonight. And the judge just set a date to remove her feeding tube, so we're...
I don't give a shit what he did. I'm going to go sleep next to my son.
I can't let you do that. No one is allowed in until morning.
Why? What is the problem? What, you think I'm going to sneak Schiavo a sandwich? I'm going.
Ma'am, I will have to place you under arrest if you do not cooperate.
Are you kidding me?
She gets out of the car, fuming.
Look, I...
She pauses, then puts on a saccharine smile.
I think we got off on the wrong foot here, and I understand. You're just following orders, but...
Hey, ma'am, there's nothing I can do.
Look, my son, he is by himself in that place right now.
And the officer listens with sympathy.
He can't say it because... He can't speak anymore, but I know for a fact he does not like to be by himself. Especially at night, he gets scared. That boy is honestly the first person I ever truly loved. And soon, he is going to go away forever, and when he does, I have to be there. I will be there. When he leaves this earth,
She fights back tears.
He can't be by himself when that happens. So please.
Bewildered, she throws up her hands.
Please. Let me just go sleep next to my son.
The cop shifts his jaw.
I can't. sorry. I can't.
Back at the party, the girls sit in their bras.
What's slam it?
You gotta take a shot.
Oh.
My lady, for you.
Brittany pours and hands a small red cup to Doris, who throws it back and makes a face.
Oh my God.
Outside, Doris's mother pulls into the driveway. She sits in the truck for a moment, clearly distraught. Inside, two naked teenage boys sit on either side of Lacey. One of them is Nate.
I dare Nate to kiss Doris.
Doris reacts with a shy giggle. Then she rises to meet Nate. They kiss while standing over the Jenga tower. The jealous girl watches.
What the fuck is going on? What is this?
Doris's mom takes in the half-naked teens.
Put your goddamn clothes on now! You get the fuck out of my house!
Mom, please calm down.
Oh, no, you don't talk to me. What, you're having orgies while I'm sleeping on a cot? You know what?
Her mother grabs the phone.
I'm calling the cops.
The teens pause.
What, you're drinking? You're smoking pot in my house?
No, Mom, be mad at me and ground me, whatever you want, but let them go, please.
Her mother sees the panic in her eyes.
You have 2 minutes.
The teens scramble to grab their things.
Get out. Get out.
They sprint past Doris and her mother clutching their shoes. Doris's mother looks at her in disbelief and walks away, unable to look at her daughter. The next morning, they walk through the hospice. Doris tries to break through her mother's icy silent treatment.
Mom, God, don't. I said I don't want to hear it. I trusted you, and you, well, it's over. You're not allowed to be home alone ever again.
Can I just say sorry? Oh.
Not one word.
She shushes her daughter with a finger. They enter the room where her brother sleeps.
This is our home until your brother goes. This noise hasn't stopped, so get used to it.
Doris looks around, swallowing her pride. Later, she watches her mom as they both brush their teeth. They set up their sleeping cots. At night, Doris rolls over to get more comfortable, then stares up at the ceiling. In the empty dining area, Doris grabs a snack from the vending machine. She begins to walk back when she spots something. An empty chair sitting outside of a room with its door ajar. She walks toward it. Doris looks inside the softly lit pink room, where Terry Schiavo lies sleeping. Doris's hands fall to her sides. A man with a badge begins to approach, and Doris quickly moves on. The man closes the door and takes his seat. Doris quickly gets back into her bed. The next day, Paul sits under the same tree smoking. A propped-up sign reads, "Send the FBI, we have a crime scene." In a green tunic, Doris ambles toward him.
Can I please just have a cigarette?
Paul snickers and takes a long puff. Once again, she joins him on the grass. Paul reads her face.
You want to go watch the Super Bowl?
She lights up. A truck drives past a sign that reads Clearwater Beach. A cyclist rides along a bike path. Blue umbrellas dot the sand. Paul and Doris sit among several patrons at a seaside sports bar.
Now I feel like they're never going to talk to me again.
They're your friends. They'll talk to you.
My mom freaked out on it.
So?
So, I don't know. I was having fun for the first time in my life, and she ruined it.
I'm having fun for the first time in my life.
Can you listen to yourself?
I mean, come on.
I get it, though. You want to be a normal teenager.
Exactly. No. But why doesn't she get that?
Well, okay, I got news for you. You're not normal, Doris. You're different. And you are going through something real here. This whole thing is a gift. It may not seem like it, but it is.
It's not.
It is.
It's definitely not.
It definitely is, goddammit.
Paul slams the bar, startling Doris. Paul spreads his hands open in apology. Doris eyes him, then averts her gaze.
So, how did your wife die?
Paul rubs his forehead.
Oh, my God. I feel so lucky that I brought the funnest person in the world to watch this game. Yeah. Brain aneurysm. I remember telling her this stupid joke. When you know how birds fly in a V, and sometimes, one line is longer than the other. Mm-hmm. Do you know why that is?
No.
That's because there's more birds in that line. Silly joke. She started laughing, and I started laughing, and then I was laughing more because she was laughing more, and her laugh was just the greatest thing in the world. And then we went to sleep, and
Paul looks away.
And then, I woke up, and she didn't wake up. Wake up. And that's the love of my life. She was gone, and there's nothing I could do.
Lost in his story, Doris watches as the waitress slides over their food. Paul silently squeezes a lemon onto his fish, then dangles a piece in front of Doris.
No, it smells like red tide.
You're going to hurt the chef's feelings now. You eat this.
I'll stick with these things.
She takes one of his fries.
Hey, what would you want to do if you were just a normal teenager?
I don't know. I really want to drive. I'm 17. I only have a learner's permit. My mom never lets me drive. But I've always wanted to. Ever since I was, 5 years old, I've dreamed about driving. Just so I could go anywhere, anytime I wanted, on my own, and just be, completely free.
Well, amen to that.
At school, a tentative Doris steps out of the school bus. Wearing her blue uniform, she approaches Brittany and Lacey.
Everything reminds me of him! I swear. I hate him. I know you do.
I know you know I do. But
I know you know that I do, but I can't get over it.
The girls abruptly stop and turn.
So, I'm sorry about my mom. Oh, that was so funny.
Oh my God, bro. She was tripping. And I thought my mom was a maniac.
Yeah, that was some straight-up Jerry Springer shit.
No, literally.
Too funny.
So, we're going to skip tomorrow and get fake IDs.
Yeah, we just thought since we can't really, hang out at your place anymore, we can try to go to Ybor City.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Well, good luck with that.
Good luck? You're coming with us.
I am?
I mean, are you?
Like, what?
Yeah, definitely. I'm coming.
The four girls and Nate ride in a convertible.
Why not let him lay with you? That's when you give it to him good. Move it low, make it up slow.
The car is amazing.
Stop. What the fuck, Doris?
Oh, sorry, my shirt just flew out.
Your what? Shirt?
My school shirt.
Oh, God. Who cares?
I'll just buy a new one.
Yeah, I'll just buy a new one.
Nate leads them through a chain-link fence where a sweaty man sits on his stoop, smoking. His eyes drift to Doris.
Who's she?
This is Doris. Doris, this is Sweet and Low.
Nice to meet you.
Frank, I've been staying at my house. Didn't say one word about that on the phone.
No. Sweet and Low hands an ID to Nate.
28. You could pass, dog.
Huh. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
Nate pays him.
Okay, Lacey.
No, don't even try to do me like that, Sweet and Low.
This lady, she's like 50 years old.
Yeah, no, you know what? I don't need your whack-ass idea. I'll use my cousin's.
Sweet and Low looks dismayed.
Some bullshit.
He tries Brittany.
What about her? She's 22.
Yeah, she's hot and she has DSL. I'll take it.
DSL.
Do you have another one like that?
Yes, I do. Door?
How much are they?
100.
I don't have that right now. Thank you anyway.
He looks Doris up and down. Yeah. Then wags his finger.
I'm gonna get you.
Sweet and Low rummages through a box, then holds up a choice ID next to Doris.
Mm-hmm. It's about to expire. You just have it. Pro bono.
Oh, Doris, that's perfect.
It's a sunburnt middle-aged woman.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Sweet and Low.
The group drops off Doris at the hospice.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Hey there. Would you mind dropping the truck for me?
They were just dropping me off. They're leaving now.
The cop backs off.
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Please.
I can't believe she lives here.
Paul also pulls up.
Get in. You're driving me to the store.
Seriously? You're letting me drive?
Yeah. This isn't for you. I'm sick of driving.
Doris stands there gawking.
What are you waiting for? Come on.
Paul shuffles over to the passenger side.
Okay, normal girl. Show me what you got.
Doris's smile fades as she stares at the wheel.
Don't freak out, because I, like, know the answer. But which pedals go and which is stop?
Are you serious? Get the hell out of my car.
The car is stopped at a rundown park where Paul now allows Doris to take the driver's seat. As they switch sides, he crosses himself.
Okay, first things first. What's first?
Seatbelt?
Oh, my God, I'm so proud of you right now. I think I'm going to cry. Yes, seatbelt. Put the seatbelt on.
They buckle up.
Good. Now, second thing. You want to make sure that your mirrors are in the right place. So can you see out the back, this one?
Doris adjusts the rear view mirror.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, what about the side mirrors? Can you see everything on either side?
Yeah.
Now you take your foot off the brake and hit the gas on the right. Right there. Yeah. Hit it. Good. Go. Good. Go. You gotta steer. You gotta steer. Are you steering? Good. You're doing good. Well, la la la. Over. Okay, good. Just stop. Okay, good. You've got the brakes worked out. Now go easy. Just take it easy. You don't have to press down so hard on the gas. But Okay, watch out for that shed. Okay. Now try to avoid.
To the left. Steer it to the right.
The car twists and turns.
Okay, now turn left. Get around. Okay, no, but you don't have to go. Watch out for the barrel. Watch out for the barrel.
Paul covers his face.
Look, it's not even an expensive car, but it runs. Just try to go straight. You don't have to go to the right or to the left. Good. Nice and slow, straight.
Bravo. This is good driving.
Good. Okay, stop.
Which way?
Yeah, toward us.
Paul closes his eyes and drops his head back.
Thank you, God. Thank you for letting me live through this.
He prays. As the sun sets, their car stops on the side of the road. Doris gets out and hops down into the grassy ditch. She retrieves the school shirt that flew away earlier that day. Later, Doris enters her brother's room at the hospice, wearing her school clothes. She finds her mother lying asleep next to her brother. She makes up her cot bed for the night. She looks again at her mom and brother. The next morning, Doris's mother walks out to the patio with a coffee, her face ragged with worry. She spots the grief counselor, but avoids eye contact.
Oh, good morning.
Doris's mother gives a polite wave, but maintains distance. She sits.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I keep thinking about when I was pregnant with my son. There was this anticipation. I was waiting because he was arriving at any moment, and I wondered, what would he be like? What would he bring into my life? But now I'm waiting for him to leave. And I wonder, what is he going to take from my life?
Doris's mother shrugs.
It's kind of funny.
It must be very hard. I'm so sorry you're going through this.
Doris nods. Finally, she gets up despite herself and walks across the patio to sit closer to the woman.
Since we're the only people out here.
Makes sense.
She brushes her hair behind her ear.
I've been the mom of a sick kid for so many years. I don't know who I'm going to be when he's gone.
Do you have any other children?
Looking off, Doris's mom shakes her head.
No. Oh, my God, yes. Yes. Christ. Yes. Of course I have another child. I don't know why I just said that. No, I have a daughter.
Well, she'll still be here after he's gone. Life will still be here after he's gone. It's just going to look different.
In class, a teacher covers the Terry Schiavo case.
Then in 2000... Three, they were removed again.
We're going out tonight, yes?
1,000,000,000%.
Just pray my mom goes to sleep so I can sneak out.
She will. Today. You gotta think positive.
Brittany, what's your opinion?
About what?
Terry Schiavo, the person we've been discussing all morning.
Right, yeah. Full disclosure, I haven't been listening. But I will say, I think the whole Schiavo thing is just gross.
And why is that?
Because people should be allowed to die. Like, she told her husband to let her die if she ever ended up like that, and all these nosy-ass people just need to respect her wishes.
Well, I didn't ask you, but thank you, Lacey.
Yeah.
I mean, you really should be asking Doris. She, like, basically knows Terry Schiavo.
Yeah, her brother's in hospice with Schiavo right now.
Who's Doris?
I am.
The whole class turns to look at Doris.
You don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, Doris.
No, it's okay.
It's just, it's sort of hard to talk about it like this. Like, the way we talk about stuff in this class.
What do you mean?
Just like, I don't know, we sit here and we talk about hypothetical situations and what the right or wrong action is, but you can't really answer those questions because you don't know. You don't know what's right or wrong until it's happening to you. Like, we can say Terry's husband is a monster for wanting to let her die, or her parents are monsters for wanting her to live, but we don't know, do we? Because we're not them. I guess you don't know what's ethical until you know.
That was so dope.
So smart, Doris. See you tonight, Phoebe.
Doris glances softly at her friends. Later that night, Doris and her mom brush their teeth together. They lie in their cots.
Doris? I just want to say I know it's hard sleeping here every night. And I know you're a good kid. I mean, the whole party thing was partly my fault. I shouldn't have left you home alone.
Okay.
Her mother looks relieved.
Thank you.
Doris's phone lights up next to her face. She checks the message. See you soon, BB.
Man, I'm so tired. Night, Mom.
You know, if you forget how tragic this place is, it's almost like we're having a slumber party.
Yep.
Remember when you were little? We'd build forts in the living room. And you'd always yell, "Slumber party!"
They smile at the memory. Doris's mother rolls back to face her.
We're gonna have fun again, you and me. When this is over, I'll learn how to be fun again.
Doris chews her lips.
Mom, you surely get some sleep. You've been working so hard.
Her mom smiles thoughtfully.
Okay, okay. Jeez. Good night.
Doris lies awake and waits. Later that same night, the three of them lie still. Doris quietly turns back to study her mom. While her mom sleeps, Doris begins to climb out of the bed. In her pajamas, she skips outside, among news crews and nighttime protesters. A glammed-up Brittany and Lacey wait for her in the convertible.
I believe it's like it.
What?
I do. What? Oh my God, she made it out.
Holy crap. I am legit scared of your mom. I was like, that bitch is gonna run out here and stab us.
Here, I brought you an outfit, but one of the boot heels is broken, so just, like, don't dance too hard or you're fully fake.
Got it.
Thank you.
Okay, so Nate and Megan are meeting us there.
Oh, and Cody.
Ugh. Have you met him yet?
No.
You're gonna hate him.
Well, look, he got me this. You know, it's like, a promise to stop being, like, a liar and an asshole and stuff.
Well, whatever you want to do, I support you. I just want you to be happy.
You see, Britt, that is what a real friend looks
like. Whatever. Easy for you to say, Doris. You haven't been dealing with this shit for 4 years.
4 years? No, it's not 4 years. It's actually three. Because the first year, he was not an asshole.
What are you talking about?
When I first started dating Cody, he was such a sweetheart. I would do anything to go back.
You were just brainwashed.
The girls stand in line at a club. Doris wears a low-cut dress revealing cleavage. The bouncer flashes a light on Brittany and Lacey's fake IDs.
Hi.
He checks Doris's ID. He stops her with a flashlight, looks at the ID, then back at her. Doris swallows. He flips it over.
Your ID's gonna expire soon.
Yeah. Duh. I gotta go to the DMV and get a new one. because that's where I got that one. But, I mean, you knew that, obviously, because you work here. So.
He waves her through. Inside, couples dance in a red room. The girls ascend a staircase.
I thought we were going to have to bail you out of jail.
He definitely knew I was lying. I almost passed out.
Yeah.
Oh. Hi.
Nate greets Doris.
Guy, buy mommy's credit card, so drink some beer.
No, I got Doris. What can I get you to drink?
What are you having?
Vodka cranberry, bitch.
Vodka cranberry, please.
Brittany's smile disappears as she looks across the room.
Well, look who it is. Dirty Cody grinding on his next victim.
Oh my god, that's him? Well, at least they're just dancing.
Cody grabs the girl's butt.
Are you kidding me? Excuse me, ladies.
Lacey moves through the crowd and confronts Cody.
Really? There's so many gross guys here.
I know, right? They're so creepy.
Yeah.
I'm like, ew, like, stop staring at me.
Megan accentuates her cleavage.
All right, vodka cranberry.
Thank you.
More like hell for this, almost killed a guy.
Worth it, though?
Definitely.
Doris and Nate share a smitten look when Doris's phone vibrates in her purse.
Oh, my God. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Outside, Doris checks her voicemail.
You have one unheard message. I can't believe you're not answering your phone. I don't know where you are, but you need to get back here right now. The nurses are all here, and it's time. Your brother is going to go tonight. End of message.
With tears in her eyes, Doris races back inside. She looks for her friends, but the strobing lights make it hard to see. She searches in a frenzy. Dancers brush against her body. She finally locates them in VIP.
Brittany? I'm so sorry. Can you take me back to Suncoast?
What?
I need to go back to Suncoast. My brother's dying.
Dude, I can't hear you. My brother's about to die?
Brittany pulls up to Suncoast and Doris runs out of the car. Standing among the protesters, Paul watches her.
Are you kidding me? This is how you're dressed?
Hurried, Doris takes in her brother.
Is he okay?
Her brother lies awake and blinks a few times.
What's going on?
Okay, relax. He's probably not going to pass away tonight, but you never know. He is in hospice.
Her mother glares at her.
What?
Doris's jaw drops.
You lied?
No, I did not lie. I did not lie. He could have died, and you weren't here. And after I tell you what a good kid you are, you sneak out and dress like a hooker?
But you said...
Appalled, Doris meets her mother's gaze.
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with me? Oh, that is great, Doris. You break all the rules and I'm the bad guy.
You're worse than the bad guy. You're a fucking monster. You don't tell someone that. You don't lie about that.
Oh, good. Here come the waterworks.
Yes, okay, I snuck out, but that doesn't mean you can... I've always done everything you asked me to. My entire childhood was wasted taking care of him so that you didn't have to.
Didn't have to? Do you think I liked leaving my sick child so I could go serve food to tourists? Huh? You think I wanted to work instead of be with my boy? I had to work so we could eat. So we could pay rent. So you could go to your private school with your perverted friends. And go to the slut store.
Doris bites her lip, then turns around to grab her things.
I'm done.
She begins packing.
I'm done with this.
Her mother watches her with regret.
You can live here with your precious son. He's basically dead anyway.
Dora stomps out of the hospice, still wearing her sparkling blue outfit and shiny boots. Paul notices and walks with her.
I don't want to talk right now.
We don't have to talk.
I just want to be alone.
Doris, I am so sorry. Did your brother pass away?
No! She told me he was about to, and she lied to me. She's fucking psycho.
She trips.
Right?
I'm fine. Stupid boot.
She unzips them.
Listen, I know you're not going to want to hear this right now, but your mom just did you a huge favor. I saw you run in the building. You're not ready for him to go. You need to make your peace with him while you still have the chance.
Shut up!
Doris whips around.
Please, just shut the fuck up! Who even are you? You're like some old guy who's obsessed with Tara Schiavo because you can't get over your dead wife? Do I look like your wife or something? Is that why you're always bothering me? Well, I'm not her, so just leave me the fuck alone!
Doris turns to walk off.
No, that ain't it at all. You're a young kid. It just seemed like you needed some...
I don't need anything from you.
She runs off into the night. Paul looks after her, then turns and walks back to Suncoast.
In a dream I saw you walk like a kid alive and talking like woozy.
Doris lies still in her bed.
In the classroom you were teaching, on the streets you were...
A digital bedside clock reads 5:36 a.m. Doris gets out of bed. Wrapped in a bath towel, she stands still in front of a mirror.
To the one I know most, I will tell him of your ghost like anything.
She gets dressed, occasionally pausing, lost in thought. Dispirited, she walks toward the high school. Her friends run straight up to her.
Oh my God, Doris.
Brittany and Lacey wrap themselves around her.
Oh my God, back up. Give her some space. It's okay, girl. We're here for you.
Forever. We'll always be here.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry for your loss.
He didn't die.
They let go.
Wait, what?
He didn't die. It was a false alarm.
Oh, thank God, because I had zero idea what to say to you just now.
Megan smiles.
Do people, like, actually like to hear I'm sorry for your loss? Because I always just feel so generic when I say it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, then, I guess Nate has something he wants to ask.
Stop.
He wasn't going to do it today, because if your brother had died, he'd
excuse
be
me,
here
excuse
to
me.
Ask
No, no, but... shut up. Okay, both of you, I don't need you to speak for me.
He so does.
Nate fidgets.
Nah, you know, I was just wondering if, you know, you wanted to go to prom with me.
Oh. Yeah, of course. I'd love to.
Good. Oh, all right.
Okay, kiss her.
Nate gets closer to Doris. They kiss.
Okay, now finger her. Come on.
Oh,
wow.
God. Sorry about her.
Arched stained glass windows line the hospice. Doris's mother sits on her son's bed, massaging his arms and hands. Outside, Paul sits under the same tree, smoking a cigarette alone. At night, Doris stands on her tiptoes and looks through kitchen cupboards. She locates a bottle of alcohol and pours herself a glass. Doris places her back against the kitchen counter. She sips. Later, she watches TV. Doris quickly shuts off the TV. She sits, clutching the glass, and takes another sip. Later, Doris flips through a photo album and smiles. The photos are from Christmas, when she and her brother were toddlers. Her mother laughs as her brother puts a silly hat on her. In another photo, the whole family is present, including her father. Doris turns the page her brother is dressed as a mad scientist for Halloween. In another, Doris leans on her big brother as they beam at the camera, wearing backpacks on a school day. On the next page, her teenage brother shows off his skateboard tricks midair. In another photo, her brother teaches her to balance on a skateboard as she leans on him. Doris watches an old home movie.
Okay, now do Muscle Beach.
She smiles softly.
Now do silly dance.
On video, she and her brother bounce and flail their arms.
Now do moonwalk.
Wait, how do you do it?
No, Doris.
Doris's lower lip trembles. Fighting back tears, she giggles. Their young mother joins them in the video. Doris shuts it off and wipes the tears streaming down her face. At the hospice, Doris's mother stands at the chapel's doorway. She goes inside and closes the door behind her. She walks into the empty hospice chapel, where three large stained glass windows let in sunlight. She walks down the aisle and sits. Doris's mother looks ahead. She closes her eyes briefly, then opens them as tears begin to well up. She lets a tear roll down her cheek. Her face drops into her hands as she allows herself to weep freely. Doris rides her bike past the harbor. She rides through neighborhoods. She rides up the driveway of a sprawling two-story house with a yellow Jeep and two other cars parked outside. Inside, the friends wear glamorous dresses and do their makeup.
No, I'm, like, obsessed with yours.
Thank you.
She was, like, super slow, but it's fine.
Oh, my God. She did mine in, like, an hour.
Okay. She is way too cute. Y'all are gonna die.
Doris models a blue and silver mermaid gown.
Yes!
That's so hot.
Are you sure I can wear this? It's so nice.
No, you look so good in it.
I don't know. I think the straps are a little long.
No, my mom can fix that.
Mom, can you bring your sewing kit?
Doris, I think it is so cool that you're comfortable wearing Lacey's old dress.
Brittany eyes Megan.
What are you doing? Like, what are you actually doing right now?
Sorry, I, like, meant it as a good thing.
Guys, Cody's not taking me to prom.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, he said he'll meet me at Kyle's before, but...
Lacey reads her phone.
I've already been to prom. It sucked, and I don't feel like going again. What?
Oh my God, I hate him.
I mean, for him to do this to you on the holiest of nights. No, I can't even.
It's all my fault. I need to walk away, but I can't.
Yes, you can. You can do it. You're strong enough to walk away.
I mean, obviously I'm not.
No, listen to me. You deserve so much better. You're such a good person, and you're such an amazing friend. You're like an angel. I mean, you all have, like, saved my life.
Aww! You're so cute. Oh my god.
The girls look at Lacey with anticipation.
Okay, fine. I'm breaking up with him.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh.
Brittany looks at Doris wide-eyed. Lacey types something out on her phone.
It's done.
You did it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually?
Yes.
Ha ha ha!
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Lacey's mom.
Did I just step onto a fashion runway?
Can you fix her straps?
Is this from your junior prom?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it looks so beautiful on you, Doris.
Thank you. You're so nice. Mm-hmm. Your mom is so nice.
Come on.
Okay.
Let me just get you a measure.
While Lacey's mom leads Doris to the mirror, her phone vibrates. Doris answers. Her mother is at hospice with a nurse and doctor by her brother's bed.
Hello?
Hi. I just wanted to let you know. It looks like he might go tonight or tomorrow morning. They say because his fingers are really yellow and his breath is pretty labored, so...
Doris stands there, frozen.
Look, I'm really sorry, okay? I should have never done that. I should never have lied to you. It's just... There's no excuse. It was cruel. And I understand if you can't forgive me, but don't punish him, okay?
Her mother waits for a response.
You do what you want. I just wanted to let you know.
Thanks for letting me know.
Doris hangs up.
Everything cool?
In the limo, Doris sits lost in her own thoughts.
Yes! Whatever. What about when you headbutted Michael Rieger?
Oh my God, you didn't even tell us about it.
You can't lie, mate. That was psycho shit.
You just tried to fight me, bro. What was I supposed to do?
Anything.
Do you know Mike Rieger?
Hello?
Doris looks up at Megan.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Megan notices Doris's mood.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're not, like, upset about something I said, are you?
What? No.
Okay, good.
Wait, this is my song! Turn it up!
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? Don't ya? Don't ya?
The friends sing and dance boisterously around Doris.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was raw like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like me? Don't ya?
Lights sparkle off a pier at the prom. While other students mingle in groups, Nate tries to break through Doris's silence.
I'm really stoked you came with me tonight, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
They wait awkwardly.
How's your mom's parrot?
Oh, yeah, he's good. No, I actually taught him to say, suck a dick. It was super funny, but now he won't stop saying it, so now my mom's pretty pissed.
Doris nods. Lacey spots something.
Oh my God.
Walking toward them is Cody, holding a bouquet of flowers.
Shit, he looks so hot. Here we go.
Lacey, can we talk for a second?
No, Cody. Okay, we're done. I meant what I said, okay? This is over.
Yes, baby, you don't have to do this. I'm gonna come with you.
No, it's too late, okay? I need to stay away from you. We have to be done. Forever. I'm serious.
Cody nods. He hangs his head and walks away. A drunk Brittany celebrates.
Oh my God.
Ugh. Yes! Fuck you, Cody! You finally did it! You actually did it. You're free.
Brittany stumbles.
This is the best night of my life. Guys, y'all.
Doris gives a weak smile.
Oh my God, I just realized something. This is it. No, I'm serious. Shh. This is the most important night of our lives. This is everything. We're all together. And that's all that matters.
Doris looks up.
Like, this really is the biggest fucking night of our lives. Seriously. Like...
Her eyes dart.
You guys are my everything.
She looks around her.
We're always gonna be here for each other. And I'm never gonna forget you guys.
She swallows hard.
Never.
ever. I have to go.
What?
Oh my God, I have to go right now.
What?
No, this, fuck, I just need to talk to my brother.
Doris!
Doris tromps past Brittany and 50 other prom goers standing on the narrow pier. She finds the limo.
Excuse me, can you drop me off somewhere really quick? It's an emergency.
Of course.
She sits in the back in her shimmery dress. A lone balloon bobs gently on a string.
Is there any way you could drive faster? I'd really appreciate it.
Hiya, it's Christine. Leave me a message. Hiya, it's Christine.
Her lips tremble as the LED lights change color on her face. A candlelight vigil for Terry Schiavo is underway. As the limo approaches Suncoast, the protesters block the path. Doris's eyes go wide, her mouth agape.
You can stop here. We're close enough.
But I'll take my time.
She exits the limo and makes her way through the throngs of protesters. She runs past Paul, who stops and looks after her with a look of concern.
Get inside their clothes with my green gloves. Watch their videos.
Doris runs past blockades. Once inside, she removes her heels. She dashes down the hallway and arrives at her brother's room.
Get inside their
Doris pushes the door open and takes in the scene. Her mouth drops open. A sheet covers her brother's body. Her mother gives one small nod. Doris shakes her head in shock.
No.
She drops her shoes and approaches the foot of the bed.
Max? I'm sorry. I wasn't here, and...
It's okay, Doris.
Her mother, Christine, watches her from the couch. Doris shuffles closer toward Max's head.
Max? I need to talk to you.
He can still hear you. You can still talk to him.
No! Don't go. I don't know why I wasn't here. I'm sorry. You can't leave me here by myself. Don't leave me, please!
Doris pulls down the sheet. Her brother's body lies lifeless, his lips blue. She turns, her face filled with tears.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was so selfish. I was so awful to you. I should have made you brownies, and I know you love them, and I never made them for you. And I should have let you watch skateboarding videos all day. I should have given you the remote. I should have...
Oh, I did. Dory, you were so good to him.
No,
he knows. He knows you love him. He knows. I promise you.
Christine takes Doris into her arms. Doris hugs her mother tightly.
He knows.
Christine cradles her head. Doris turns to cry on her brother's chest. Later that night, Christine and Doris sit on the couch and watch as Max's body is wheeled away. Two men carefully roll Max's covered body down the hall on a stretcher. In the room, Christine looks on as Nurse Mia changes out the bed linens. From the front, Mia quickly wipes away her tears.
I'm sorry. He was just really young, and we don't get a lot of young people here. Thank you
for taking care of him.
Mia nods. Doris empties the drawers and packs her things into a suitcase. Through the glass, Christine is seen chatting with the grief counselor. Daylight peeks in through the windows. They walk down the hall. Christine pulls the suitcases behind her. Doris paces while her mother signs paperwork at the front desk. She spots Paul sitting outside.
I'll be outside, Mom.
Okay, sweetheart.
Doris opens the door and steps outside. Still wearing her shimmery blue prom dress, she heads toward him. Engrossed in a book, Paul looks up and puts the book down. She sits down next to him, and Paul takes a deep breath.
Where was everyone going?
City Hall. They're just gonna wait outside until the judge agrees to start feeding her again.
Weren't you with them?
No. I just wanted to make sure that you're all right.
He nudges her playfully on the arm. Doris gazes at the ground and chews her lips.
He died. And it feels just like you said. But I think, no, I know he's in a better place now. And I know he's happier. He's free. I can feel it. And isn't heaven like what you guys believe in? Isn't it supposed to be a lot better than this place?
Paul nods.
It's just, I don't know. I can just feel it. I know it.
Doris scrunches her mouth.
And I miss him.
A tear rolls down her cheek.
And I hate this. But he's free.
So glad I'm at your doors. Thank God you're not normal.
Paul wipes a teardrop from her chin as Christine joins them from behind. They stand and face her.
Mom, this is Paul.
Christine nods.
Mm-hmm, I remember.
Well, it's nice to see you again. I never got your name.
Paul holds out his hand.
Christine.
Ah, nice to see you again, Christine.
They shake hands. This time, Christine returns a grateful smile.
Okay, Katie, ready to go?
Yeah. Goodbye, Paul.
Paul opens his arms for a hug. Doris embraces him.
You take care, my dear.
Christine and Doris come to the back of the yellow truck, tailgate already open. They load the bags. Christine shuts the tailgate, and mother and daughter face each other.
Well, what do we do now?
Doris thinks, then shrugs.
Can I drive?
Christine takes her in warmly.
Yes.
She reaches for the keys.
Yes, you can.
They cross to sit in opposite seats up front. They get in and shut the doors. The tailgate falls open. They both look back, then turn around and let it be. They both strap on their seatbelts. Doris reaches to adjust the rearview mirror. Christine watches her.
I feel I've done my last.
She watches Doris turn the key in the ignition.
So I say goodbye.
The yellow truck slowly backs out.
Goodbye, 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 I know.
When did you learn to drive?
Have gone a long time in denial.
The yellow truck drives past the empty news tents set up outside the hospice, then swerves a little.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye. Please don't ever let me do you wrong.
The truck disappears down the winding road as sunlight pierces through the trees.
I'd like to dream.
A photo fades up. A teenage boy does an ollie on a skateboard, wearing an exalted smile. Words appear, in memory of Max Kenneth Chin. Credits roll.
Goodbye.
Audio description created by Roundabout Entertainment and narrated by Sophia Chiappos.